Blog Talk Radio.
Praise and thanks. Mojuba Akoda, Mojuba Asheda, Mojuba Alua Mi, Apolabi Pega, Mojuba Araba Mi, Adesanya Awuyade, Mojuba Ogute Compound Oje Remo, Mojuba Baba, Mojuba Yeye, Mojuba Egun to all the God children, Mojuba Egun to all the Babalawos, the Ears, Mojuba Egungun to all the chiefs, Mojuba Egungun to all the Awos, Mojuba Egungun to all those that are listening, who are tuned in. We give praise and thanks to the Most High. We say Ashe, 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 Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe,
Ashe. Welcome to Sign of the Times, everybody. This is Queen Tahira. Sign of the Times is brought to you by the New Power Radio Network and the UAC, the United African Coalition for Justice and Human Rights. We began the UAC after the unjust Zimmerman verdict of July 2013 and are quickly approaching our fifth anniversary, and we're going to be celebrating it with you. So please continue to support us and our sponsors, Manhood Racing Culture, headed up by my co-host on Wednesday nights, Dr. James Jones. You can find Dr. Jones on Facebook as James Jones, Manhood Racing Culture as a liking group page, and on the World Wide Web at manhoodraceculture.com. Also, please support Ali Gordon of Unity Design, and Unity is spelled U-N-I-T-E-E. You can find Brother Arlie on Facebook as well and on the World Wide Web at unitydesign.com. And last but not least, we want to always remember to never forget our beloved brothers and sisters who are behind enemy lines and the families and loved ones and friends that they respectfully represent. So please reach out to Unheard Voices, the Free Alabama Movement, and the Free Ohio Movement on Facebook and on the World Wide Web at freealabamamovement.com and freeohiomovement.org. I also want to remind you to please support the Redistribute the Pain campaign. You can find more information on redistributethepain.wordpress.com and find out how you can get involved. And if you have a family member, loved one, or friend who is behind enemy lines, incarcerated in this unjust penal system, and maybe you've lost track of them, reach out to us and we can help you find them. You can find me on Facebook as Queen Tahira, New Power Radio Network, and Sign of the Times. You also can reach out to me on Twitter at Queen Tahira, on Instagram, Queen_Tahira, and again, of course, on Facebook as Queen Tahira and Sign of the Times. And as long as you know their first and last name and what state they were convicted in, we can help you find them. So this has been a very, I guess, exciting and engaging week. We started off Tuesday with a Listen and Learn with Dr. Amos Wilson speaking on the development of the African child. And, you know, just getting down to the basics of, you know, who we are as melanated people, the differences that differentiate us from any other groups of people, and what makes us unique. And therefore, our learning capabilities and the way we learn are going to be uniquely different as well. And so Dr. Amos Wilson is always insightful when it comes to uplifting our community, but especially when it comes to how we deal with the education and upliftment of our children. Yesterday, we had Dr. Jones on, along with Brother Eugene, who is preliminarily a new host here on Sign of the Times, as well as Brother Alan Gaines, Arthur Alan Gaines, who wrote a phenomenal book as it relates to education and, again, the uplifting of our children. And so we had a very engaging conversation. And I'd like to pick up, simply because I do respect these brothers' opinion on, I guess, hot topics and the current status of things that have an impact on us, whether we choose to be a part of the conversation or not, whether we choose to be a part of what's going on directly or indirectly, it's going to affect us, and not only us, but our children and how we're treated in society as a whole. So I'm going to go ahead and open up mic this evening. Last four digits, 7196. Who am I speaking with? Greetings. Last four digits, 7196. Your mic is open. Is this Brother Malik or Brother Alonzo?
Yeah, we are. How you doing, Queen Tahira?
I'm fine, brother. Who am I speaking
with? This Malik the God. This Malik the God, Queen Tahira. How you been doing?
Welcome, Brother Malik. I'm good. You know, we take a licking and keep on ticking. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Glad to be on the show and have an opportunity to voice out to the community and let them know what's going on inside the church.
Ashe. So it's been 2 weeks since we were on the air. What's been going on as far as the movement?
What's been going on as far as inside here, or what's been going on as far as on the agenda?
Both. We can pick up wherever you'd like.
Well, right now we're focusing on the school, the prison pipeline project right now, because we feel like right now that is a critical time, not only for the young African-American children, but for the parents as well, because it's critical in terms of education, because a lot of us have been miseducated, and right now, you know, with the gift of having the Internet to our advantages, a lot of black people are starting to wake up. We're not just sitting around no more just like we're underneath a rock. So if you're doing bad right now, economically, financially, educationally, it's because it's only by choice. You know what I'm saying? So right now we have an opportunity to come together, unify, under one umbrella, get the school to prison pipeline thing together, so we won't be allow our children to get caught up in this penitentiary crap.
Definitely, definitely, brother. We've been talking about education just about all this week, and especially how it pertains to our children specifically. I want to get your opinion on something. One of the things that came up in last night's discussion in reference to Kanye and his ignorant statement that slavery was voluntary. First, I'd like to get your opinion on that and, see what your thoughts are. And two, what does that say about the education system that anybody would have the impression that slavery was at all something that was voluntary?
It's like everything is just out of control with the education system. We don't control the curriculums, and that's part of the problem right there. We control our own curriculums. We'll be mindful of some of the stuff that come out of our mouth. But Kanye West, in my opinion, he's the one that have a slave mentality in order to put something out like that. I was looking at the internet today, scrolling through that today, and can't call some ignoramus statement that this man said. So I think that the black community, white community, or whoever down with, you know what I'm saying, boycotting this type of ignorance, they need to boycott his music as a whole. And anybody else who supports Kanye West, the record labels, whether it be the publishing companies who put out his books, whether it be the record labels that put out his records, we need to start boycotting, because right now the message, it ain't really positive coming from the hip-hop community. And the guys that really have a voice, like P.O.P., this dude Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole, them guys really have a voice, and it's being drowned out by the conglomerate media at the top.
Ashe, so do they have a responsibility, though, Brother Malik, or is it, have we gotten to the point as a society that we've lost those communal ties that once, you know, we at one time expected when somebody made it that they would naturally help the next person up? And we really don't see that obligation and commitment anymore. What should our conversation be with not only Kanye, but those who are in positions like Kanye that could really have an impact on the educational system and our children?
It basically breaks down to a lack of respect for self, for culture, for the elders. You know, once upon a time in the history of hip-hop, during the 80s and the 90s, that's the golden era of hip-hop, and you know, those guys that were putting out the music back then, Public Enemy, X-Clan, whether it was LL Cool J, Run DMC, MC Light, you know, it was fun. Hip-hop was fun, and it was a positive message, and it brought people together no matter what color line you come from. The Beastie Boys, you know what I'm saying, even played a role in the shaping of hip-hop. So, you know what I'm saying, it don't really have a color line. But when you start talking about your cars, your clothes, calling, you know, African sisters, excuse my French, for bitches and hoes, that's the wrong approach. We shouldn't be using that type of approach. And you know, right now the times are too critical with mass incarceration, school, prison, the pipeline system. You know, we're dealing with community decay. We're dealing with neglect as far as with parental care inside the neighborhoods. We're dealing with the misappropriation of governmental funding. We're dealing with all kind of isms that's affecting our community, you know, on a whole.
Definitely, definitely, for sure. Brother Malik, we began our conversation with Decarcerate Louisiana with the introduction about the overall goals and objectives of you all's movement. So where do you want to start tonight's dialogue, and how can people get involved not only by supporting you verbally, but offering support with boots on the ground?
Well, we need people, you know, what we're trying to do, we're trying to unite everybody. It don't matter if it's an international movement, and it don't matter if it's a national movement. We're trying to bring all people together, regardless of immaterial to what color you represent, your creed, your culture, it don't matter. We feel like we are the change that we want. We are the change that we need. So we need to come together. We need to come together. We need to deal with the reality that we're facing right now, and we need to get behind the ideologies of Decarcerate Louisiana, which is one of our plights, mission statements, is to end mass incarceration, in solitary confinement, in the practice, the illegal practices, the unconstitutional practices of the death penalty, in the unconstitutional practices of juveniles being sentenced to life without the benefits of parole, pardon, or probation, suspension of sentence. All these practices are wicked practices. And it has like a domino effect on the community as well. People looking at it like, oh, these inmates just fine because they committed a crime and they're in prison. Okay, they committed a crime, they're in prison. But let's look at the circumstances in which they came from that put them in a position to get out there in the game in the first place. You know, a lot of these kids come from poverty, neglected communities. A lot of these kids, the heroes are ghetto fabulous selling drugs. A lot of these kids, the government, you know, are allocated funds towards the community, but these communities, the funds will never make it to the community, and it goes towards another social pet project for these right-wing conspiracists that want to see you locked up in the first place. So there's a lot of education that must take place inside the black community. They have to be educated all over again because, you know, again, we have been miseducated like Dr. Carter G. Woodson said, Queen. You with me, Queen? Queen?
Right.
Yeah. And if anybody want to join up with Decarcerate Louisiana, you can go to decarceratelouisiana.com.
I'm sorry.
If anybody want to join up with our organization, they're serious about, you know, uniting the movement and moving forward, you can go to decarceratelouisiana.com. Anybody want to make a donation towards the cause, they can see exactly what we're doing. The money is transparent. Nobody inside the organization can abuse no funds or nothing. Everything that we're doing with the organization, with the funding, is going towards the program that is set out to go towards.
Ashe, we don't play them kind of games. I wouldn't promote you if you wasn't for the right thing with doing the with the resources.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's automatically overstood. We don't fuck with people who don't do the right thing, point blank,
right,
and period, especially here on Sign of the Times. And so some people appreciate that and some people don't. But I appreciate you bringing that forth. But, yeah, that's on the strength, because there are consequences and repercussions when people don't do the right thing. You know,
exactly.
We've seen enough of folks just giving it rhetoric and stepping up just to be seen versus those who are struggling and scraping to keep, you know, broadcasts like Sign of the Times on the air, who ask for donations,
right,
whose work is clearly evident,
right,
you know, on what they're doing and what they're about. So, you know, we don't even play them kind of games, bruh.
Right. And you got to, you know, a lot of things that people must understand that I'm moving from the bricks. I'm behind the bricks. I'm behind this steel. I'm behind the walls. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage. It takes nuts to get on this mic and express what I feel to the world about how it's affecting our community, the penal reform, talk about school, prison, the pipeline projects, talking about community decay, talking about parental neglect. We're talking about solitary confinement of mental. We're talking about people that's mentally ill, that's traced behind, they're placed behind trap doors right here at Angola, Louisiana State Pen. One tour around this prison plantation, what they call it, the farm, and you'll see antebellum slavery all over again. Antebellum 1800s, 1600s, all over. They riding around here in horses and carriages. Guys around here in the fields, they scraping, they picking soybean, they picking cotton, and they getting paid 2 cents an hour that they don't never see. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of the money is being abused in this state. You know? And I just want to make the audience aware of that.
Ashe, so do you want,
right,
to go down that path then to talk about the financial responsibilities of the prison, or do you want to stay on topic with the school-to-prison pipeline?
I want to stay on the topic of the school-to-prison pipeline. That's exactly,
okay,
that's our main topic of the day. We want to stay on top on that there. And I also want to hear from some of these audience out there today, some of these listeners, you know, some of their questions on, you know, the ideas, some ideas that people may have to some of the solutions, because we don't have all the answers. That's why we're trying to put it out there to the community right now. We're trying to come together. Whatever skill that a person that, you know, equipped with, no matter, they can help us within the organization. They can help, you know, exactly what it is that you're trying to do. But we don't have all the answers, but we welcome anyone to put forward any question that they may have towards bringing forward a solution to the problem that's affecting our community negatively.
Ashe, let's talk about that, Brother Malik, because one of the things that we always operate from, again, going back to our foundation here on Sign of the Times, is how we deal with one another, brother to sister, sister to brother, brother to brother, sister to sister. And we see a lot of facade-type personalities out here, and you're absolutely right. I mean, for years, we've had the Brothers of the Sun, with the Free Alabama Movement on here, talking about some of the obstacles and hurdles that they face in even trying to live. We also have featured several listen and learn sessions, especially the one recently with Brother Eugene Groves that talks about how oppressive the system is. But we also know that the system is a system no matter what. Looking at the neighborhood schools even that are being developed in the 20th century or 21st century, they look like jails. And if you think about the day-to-day operation of the system, of the school system, of the prison system, you know, we're taught from a very early age to respond like Pavlov's dog, to bells and whistles and commands, which limits our ability to be free thinkers. And so what we find is that when our children are in the educational system, when they are free thinkers, and even when they get to be adults and still are free thinkers, that's shunned upon. Those people are often looked upon as being strange or weird. So how do we get our children to embrace their uniqueness and our parents to feel bold enough to speak truth to power, especially when a lot of these facilities are medicating our children? And I yield.
First of all, Queen, we have to take that power that the oppressor have over our kids. We have to take that back. We have to take and establish our own. I always stress that having our own school is key. If we don't have our own school, then hell, we're homeschool our children. We've been seeing a lot of success with homeschooling going on right here in Louisiana, in a state that's 49th in the country educationally, where kids are 75% are functionally illiterate. Even in the penitentiary, in Louisiana State Penitentiary, the guys are 75% of inmates out of 6,000 inmates are functionally illiterate. But those numbers are starting to turn around. I have a program called Scholastic Nights that we had started here. It's an academic achievement program, and the administration here cut it short because we were graduating too many students. You know, they have a GED standard class here at that particular time, and it wasn't having that success. So when me and a couple of more guys, Curtis Davis, a couple of more guys, we got together and we started our own curriculum. We were helping guys achieve GEDs. And how did they respond to it? The administration cut our program out completely and locked up everybody that was involved with educating these guys to get these GEDs. So the system clearly don't want to see you educate yourself. They want to keep you ignorant. They want to keep you in a slave mentality. And they want to keep you confined behind the walls. So education plays a role. It's key.
Mm-hmm. What about our communal ties with one another? What culture do we even have left here in the United States, considering, you know, like we talked about earlier, hip-hop has been co-opted, especially with this homosexual agenda. How is that affecting the images of black manhood? And is that something that you think we should be concerned about?
With respect to a person, regardless of their sexual or gender, regardless of their sexual choice, the homosexuality was always unacceptable in the black community where I come from. But we're starting to see it spread a lot ever since Barack Obama helped legalize homosexuality. And right now you can see the negative effects of it has decaying neighborhoods, it decaying media, it decaying everything that you see, education. You got guys tying up like snakes inside of bathrooms in schools. That's not cool. So we need to get away from that mentality. All that's a part of the oppressor. That's the devil. That's the devil that's inside of them, and he needs to be expelled. The devil needs to be completely expelled from student system. But we don't support it.
Mm-hmm. And what about our communal and cultural ties? How do we get back to the root of teaching in a manner that's going to be best for our children?
We need to study forums again. They got to go back to the basics. You know, the older people in the community, the women of the community that's conscious, they need to take control of the community and start organized community circles and study forums and start educating these children to their culture, Black history, world history, as opposed to his story. You know, as long as these kids are psychologically traumatized by the lies of not only Christianity and a lot of other religious or false ideologies that was spread by the oppressor, Anglo-Saxons, they need to study Afrocentricity. They need to know about their roots. And that's the only thing that's going to open their eyes. I remember when I was 17 years old and I was introduced to Afrocentricity, it just like something just snapped off in my head. A light just went off in my head, and from there I never turned back. And I was like, wow, man, I missed all this, all these years. And it seemed like the more and more that I learned, it seemed like the more and more depressed that I actually get, because I see my people now making progress with me, and they have those ability to make the progress, and I just don't understand what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we can do it.
And our relationships with one another as brother and sister, how can we improve that? Because one of the things that we know culturally at one time, we followed laws of Ma'at, which were, matriarchal, feminine energy. And we got co-opted with this patriarchy that we've been subjected to for hundreds of years. And now the elements are changing, returning back to the original elements of Ma'at. So how can we, I guess, create a comfortable atmosphere as brothers and sisters so that we can learn to trust one another? Again, we can communicate with one another in a manner that's respectful, and we can build with one another and heal, begin the healing process.
Well, one of the ideas that me and Alonzo Casino came up with was Decarcerate USA, and we're in a mind frame right now to incorporate another nonprofit organization to bring the decarceration of all the states underneath one umbrella. Because you hear about Decarcerate Louisiana, you hear about Decarcerate Philadelphia, you hear about Decarcerate New Jersey. All these things are like a domino effect to what we are doing. And right now, everybody seems to be looking at us for the light right now. So if that's the case, and they're giving us that much, you know, influence and trust, then we need to take flagship leadership like we know we could do. Pull ourselves by the bootstraps. We need to come together, build up an executive body. We asking people to get in touch with the Queen and just solicit the information if they want to be a coordinator or whatever. And we'll even let the Queen set up a panel and start interviewing people, so when we get the body, executive body together, we can decarcerate USA. But it's going to take teamwork. This ain't nothing that's going to just happen overnight. But we'll have to incorporate another nonprofit organization, Decarcerate USA, and bring light to all 50 states with a governmental type body, the same model that this USA government used. We can use the same model, you know. Because when we look at them and we always crying to them about they ain't doing this and they ain't doing that, what we actually doing is we begging at the master street again. Ain't no more begging, you know. And it doesn't have to be a radical approach. It's an intellectual approach. It's a coming together. It's a unity. It's an opening of the eyes. The third eyes have been opened, and we need to all come together. If you have skills, no matter what your skill is, you can computer engineer, okay, we need you. You know, if you're a teacher, okay, we need you. Whatever your skill may be, you're a writer, okay, we need you. And we'll come together, and we'll start this Incarcerate USA, and we'll bring solutions to all the communities on a global scale.
And what will your relationship be with the existing organizations that are already out here doing the work?
Oh, we starting to gain a lot of momentum with different organizations. Inmate Lives Matter. I talked to the sister Andrea Ford. we're in connection with her, and she support what we're doing. We support what she's doing. I'm affiliated with a lot of other outside groups myself that I have been invited to and exploring, you know, just trying to, you know, get my feet in the water and try to do different things. But I know that it's not going to be overnight, just like inside a penitentiary. And I always talk about this, you know, this is one of the worst places in the world. I don't care what nobody say. This is the work of the devil. All you got to do is just look around you, and you won't see nothing but steel, iron, bars of concrete, and devils everywhere you go around here.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids shouldn't be subjected to that type of abuse. You know, it's been going on too long. The world is calling for the abolishment of prison. You know what I'm saying? So that's not a coincidence that the world is calling for it, even in England. You know, at one time they were, you know, using guillotine to deal with death penalty. England abolished the death penalty. China on the verge of abolishing the death penalty. And all the allies, supposed to be civilized countries, but the United States just don't want to let it go. They still have firing squads in Utah. You know, they still have death penalty in the form of lethal injection in certain states. They can't get the third chemical, and it takes three different chemicals to put an inmate down. And I don't know if the audience is familiar with it, but one of the chemicals that they give you is it suppresses the nerves. It stops the inmate from moving. In a sense, you'd be like partially paralyzed. Then they give them another chemical. A second shot was like an acid that slowly eats the body from the inside out. The inmate can feel the torture taking place, but he can't respond because he's partially paralyzed. And the third chemical is to blind him and just take him out and asphyxiate the breathing. So the inmate actually feel like he's underwater drowning and he just can't get no breath. That's the lethal injection. Hello, world. What kind of world are we living in? What kind of world are we allowing this government to do this to our people? So I just want to put that out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be mindful of the devil. Yeah.
It's the same thing that happens when a mouse when a mouse eats poison. They pretty much drown from within. So you're absolutely right.
Exactly. And a lot of, you know, let's look at this. Everything starts with preschool. We just allow our kids to go to these schools, and we don't know what's going on. And then at the end of the day, the kid come home, we got a scar on his neck. The kid come home, got a scar on his leg. And we just allow anything, just trust anybody with our children. We got to take control. It starts at the house. So I'm holding each and every. Okay, they're coming down. Hold on. One second.
Mm-hmm. For those that are listening, if you would like to queue in, please push 1, and I will open up your mic. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059, 917-889-8059. And don't forget to push the number 1 so I can open up your mic.
Excuse me, Queen. Excuse me, Queen.
Yeah.
Queen?
Yeah.
Yeah, excuse me. I apologize for that. When that happens right there, that means that their so-called rank is making a round. You know what I'm saying? So we can't let them, you know, catch us with the phone, so to speak. You know?
Yeah. We're very familiar, Brother Malik.
Yeah, we're going to get this. We're going to get this voice out. So just
excuse
me for 1 second. Excuse me for 1 second.
Okay. Hey, everybody, I'm going to play this clip of Kanye when he was on TMZ. Some may have heard it already, so I ask that you bear with me, but some may have not. So hang out. It's about 3 minutes long, and we'll be right back to give him a chance to get situated. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We'll be right back.
I don't think people necessarily understand what happened last week with the Great Make America Great Again hat. What are you trying to do with the message you're sending?
Well, it was really just my subconscious. It was a feeling I had. You know, like people were taught how to think. we're taught how to feel. We don't know how to think for ourselves. We don't know how to feel for ourselves. People say feel free, but they don't really want us to feel free. And I felt a freedom in, first of all, just doing something that everybody tells you not to do. I just love Trump. That's my boy. Like, you know, it's like so many rappers. You'll look at a video of Snoop Dogg loving Trump, but then he get in the office and now they don't love him. Like, Trump is one of rap's favorite people,
no,
right?
But we talk about this, that before he was elected president, people in hip hop, it was an in thing to put Donald Trump in your rhyme somewhere.
Yeah. And by the way, I am in hip hop, but I'm not just in hip hop. I'm a black person in a black community, but I'm not just that. I feel like one thing is people try to minimize me to artists, hip hop, black community. Yeah, I'm always going to represent that, but also represent the world. When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all? You know, like, it's like we're mentally in prison. I like the word prison because slavery goes too direct to the idea of blacks. It's like slavery, Holocaust Jews, slavery is blacks. So prison is something that unites us as one race. Blacks and whites being one race, that we're one, we're the human race. Do you feel that I'm feeling? Do you feel that I'm being free and I'm thinking free?
I actually don't think you're thinking anything. I think what you're doing right now is actually the absence of thought. And the reason why I feel like that
is because Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice. Frankly, I'm disappointed, I'm appalled, and brother, I am unbelievably hurt by the fact that you have morphed into something, to me, that's not real. Bro, you got to be responsible, man.
Bro, I'm sorry
you
I hurt you.
You got to be responsible.
No, I'm sorry I hurt you,
man,
bro.
Bro, your voice is too big. You got.
All right, welcome back to Sign of the Times, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and open up the callers that are in queue. Unfortunately, we may have lost Malik the God due to extenuating circumstances, but we're going to keep the conversation rolling and see where we go. Greetings. Welcome to Sign of the Times, Brother L. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine. I only had a few minutes, but I chimed in maybe to just get a couple of words in here on the topic because, as usual, you pick some pretty good topics, and the conversation is pretty good. Everything, I think, we're looking for solutions. Back in the, I've been around for a few minutes, and we had schools and stuff educating our children and everything. When the children got out of school, we didn't have jobs for them, so they were blacklisted by the system. And the children that come from urban central schools, they couldn't get jobs because they were listed as troublemakers. So they had to go back to one of the white oriented schools to get more certification so they can get a job. So if we're going to educate our children, we're going to have to prepare work for them when they get out of school. We have to be able to hire them. So we have to become better, or we have to, more of us have to become entrepreneurs to put our children to work. And the biggest problem right now is that I'm thinking in reference to the education is that we don't know why we're educating our children. This system is not separate from us. We're literally supposed to be running this system, but we're not preparing our children to be governors, to be mayors, to be aldermen, to be congressmen and secretaries. We're not preparing our children for that. And that begins inside the home. We have to begin running our homes based on whatever type of governance that you want to see on the planet. If you like democracy, then your home should be set up as a democracy. If you like communism, then your home should be set up as a communist base. That way your children will not only be educated under you for the system that you like, but they'll have a working knowledge of how the system works because they're using it in their homes. And the reason why so many of our children are winding up in prison is because we're functioning outside of our culture. Our culture basically is reap what you sow. I know you've heard that a lot. They have changed, they call it by different things and selling it back to us under the secret of what goes around comes around and this type of thing. But all of that's reap what you sow. And the Ten Commandments, even Ma'at, was born out of the system of reap what you sow. Because when you get into Ma'at and all of the other different types of spiritual or religious types of mindsets, everything that they're talking about is based on reap what you sow. Now, when you're dealing, like when you're dealing with the Ten Commandments, that's not per se a religious thing. That's the humanitarian side of reap what you sow. Don't kill. You don't want anybody to kill you. Don't kill nobody else. Don't steal. You don't want anybody to steal your stuff. Don't steal from them. You don't want nobody to bear false witness, so you don't want nobody lying on you, so don't lie on nobody else. That's all reap what you sow. And when you begin to raise your children under that thought process, they will begin to monitor and govern themselves and their actions, because they know whatever they do out there, it's going to come back to them, because you raised them under that thought process. And you'll be surprised at how many children will stay away from jail just by the choices under our actual culture, which is reap what you sow. I just wanted to throw that out there, because we're not using that particular thought process as a culture, because they've kept that from us, giving it to us in other little bits and pieces from all different places, so we don't put it all together, you know. But once we began raising our children under that particular thought process, they'll respect you, they'll respect each other. I mean, when I was little, this is going back a little bit, when I was little, we never disrespected an adult. And when an adult came by, we would stop. Oh, here come an adult, here come an adult, chill. We had that respect for adults, because the adults would tell the other adults. And if somebody came to my mother's house and told them that I did something, my mother would wail on me, because the adults, they wouldn't lie on each other, because they were under, this was a little while ago, they were subconsciously functioning under the mindset of reap what you sow. Because when I was growing up, we never locked our front door. We never had to, because it was, our community was kind of safe. You know, it was mostly all blacks in the community, and it was all safe because of the mindset our parents were under. It was subconscious, but they were still under that particular mindset, you know. And if you research what I'm saying, you can check this out. Before the so-called European came back to Africa, there were no jails. He didn't find no jails. And I know when I was little and they sent me to school, they were telling me about the Eskimos and some of the other black places where it was mostly blacks. Well, there were no Europeans living. And still, you can put something down and you can leave it there and come back a year later and it'll still be there. Because of the culture of reap what you sow. And that culture was prominent all over the planet, because we had a global government. And the Americas was part of that global government that we had set up. They didn't call this America. It was already called the Americas when they came over here on the boat. But I just wanted to just drop that a little bit, because that particular thought process will change the nature of how we exist in this country. And I yield. Are we still there?
Yes, I'm here. Yeah, I don't necessarily agree fully mm-hmm. with things being as simple as reap what you sow, but I do get the overall purpose for you saying that. One of the things that we know that Ma'at allows us to do is there's an automatic expectation that critical thinking is a part of processing that developing. Are you okay, Brother L?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Well, I'm near a train station, and trains go by and make that noise. Have you heard that noise? That was a train going by.
Okay.
But I'm here, and Go ahead.
Yeah, hold on. Hold on. Let me finish my point. The thing about critical thinking skills is that we know that that's not something that is a part of our normal educational system. And so that returning back to who we are, that would allow us to develop those critical thinking skills. And in developing those critical thinking skills would also be developed the thoughts of actions create consequences, whether they be good or whether they be bad. And to simplify it as, you know, just something as simple as reaping what one sows, there's a lot of things that could be good and bad that could reap things good and bad, you know, that come as a result of consequences. But you have to be able to reason through and be able to make those critical decisions that are going to allow you to reap what you sow. And I think that that's where we've dropped the ball, not only as a community, but as a society, to those things are just naturally expected. I was listening to a lecture from Baba Kaba earlier as it relates to teaching children who supposedly have learning disabilities. And, you know, he says the same thing that I've always said. I've always gotten the best results from the children who were the worst behaved, and that the teachers often even thought the least of and least had the potential to even learn because I didn't expect anything from them but the best and was willing to give them in turn the best of me. And so that's another thing that I think I know that we've lost as a society. It's real easy to criticize someone for what they're not doing versus supporting them for the contributions that they make positively, you know, whether they be small things or big things. So I'm going to leave your mic open, and I'm going to bring in another caller. Brother Malik, if you're ready for your mic to be open, I need you to push one so that I know that you're good. This caller's last 4 digits, 9452. Unfortunately, my screen is buffering, and so I'm waiting on it to come open. Please speak when you hear that your mic is unmuted.
Hey, Queen. It's Sister Erica. How are you?
I'm well, Sister Erica. Good to hear your voice. How are you doing?
Oh, it's good to hear your voice, Queen. I'm always working Tuesday. I mean, I'm off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, so I'm, like, running around so much. I miss, you know, the radio show, but I got the tag. I'm sitting here in the car, so I'm like, oh, let me call in. So then I hear this, you know, the clip about Kanye, and I haven't heard it yet, but I've seen people talking about, like, you know, the situation or whatever. But see, this like those type of things to me is a distraction because it's not relevant. I mean, like what he said, it sounds like he's on drugs. He got a bad case of the Kardashians. I don't know what his problem is. He then went to the other side. He got the money, all that went to his head. Whatever his, you know, reasoning is, motive is, it's just, I don't pay attention to that because it's just jibber jabber. Like you're just saying anything just to get some controversy, stir, get your name in the headlines, whatever it might be. So I just feel like, you know, I don't pay too much attention. And I did, like, Chicago, now they got water in Chicago like Flint water. Why is people not talking about that? You know what I mean? The way they're talking about this, because he's going to say, he got money. He don't care, and who don't like him? At the end of the day, he's going in the house, he's shutting his door, he got his money, he's still, you know, living his life, and we're sitting around mad at something that he said. When he's not even really relevant, you know, like, he shouldn't be that relevant. And that's why, like, you know, the celebrities, superstars, people that have these platforms and these, when they get up there and say that, you know, it is kind of disappointing because you could use that voice to talk about the people with the bad water or the Puerto Rico who doesn't have, you know, part of Puerto Rico doesn't have a power yet. Stuff like that, like, for you to say that it's a choice 400 years, why? Because you sitting on a couple dollars now and you up in, you know, Beverly Hills, wherever y'all living at. So now it sounds like a choice. But when you was out there in the street, you probably wasn't talking like that before you got big. So it's just like all that got to his head. So he shouldn't even be having that much attention on him for that because there's so many more, like, real topics. You know, that's just my opinion, like, I don't look at the distractions. To me, that's a distraction. He's talking about he loves Trump. He's working with him. They're trying to distract us again so Trump can send out another, sign another law over, switch some stuff up on us. I try to pay attention to the background of what they're doing. Why are they distracting us? Let's find out what they're doing back at the ranch, because that's what, you know, at the end of the day, that's how I feel, you know, all of that media, celebrity, they control all that. J. Cole just came out with a new album. He's spitting knowledge. He's dropping jewels. Why was it so hard for me to go on YouTube and just look up his song and get it? You know what I mean? They're playing all these fake songs, like his little beats and stuff. But you just can't go on. But let me go in there and try to find a Kanye song. He's talking about he loves Trump. It's going to be the first thing to pop up. You know what I mean? They control all that media. So I don't get into it like that. Like, when they do those distractions, you know, I'm not putting my energy to that. You know, he got to deal with that one day. He you know, you never know when he's going to need his people, his community. And then that's the time when the people are like, well, I thought it was a choice. Now you got a choice or whatever, you know, right back at you. But, you know, I wouldn't spend so much time on talking about what he's saying, especially if he's not representing the right way. Don't let him have that title. You know what I mean? Take that away. Mm-hmm. Let's put that emphasis on something that's important, that's going on in our communities that really does need to be talked about, you know?
Yeah, and you know, I feel you. I feel you. I feel you. And the subject matter really is more about Negro fraud.
Yeah, like don't get that position
like
and
Kanye,
use your
accepting. Hold on. Let me finish.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Accepting that behavior to where it becomes the norm, and our young people are watching. You know, and what responsibility does this reflect upon him? As the brother from TMZ said, that was irresponsible as hell. You know, Trump don't give a damn about a black man, whether he has money or not. Look what they're doing to Cosby. You know, so our black men have a responsibility when they speak publicly, whether it be Kanye, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton or anybody else. You know, they have a responsibility because before they were anything, celebrity or otherwise, they were black. And so if we continue to allow these types of Negro frolics to perpetrate the damages and the oppression of the oppressor, because that's really all they're doing, is they're really speaking for white male supremacy when they do things like this. And he's made it clear his loyalty is not with the black community. His loyalty is with the people who keep his pockets fat. And I got a problem with that, especially by the fact that he is a black male and does have responsibility to the community and to the people who look up to him, be they few or be they many. You know, so anytime, you know, there's an opportunity to discuss something that is going to have or could potentially have a detrimental effect on who we are as a group of people, we're going to talk about it on Sign of the Times because we believe in speaking truth to power, even if they look like us. So hold tight. I'm going to bring Brother Malik back in.
Okay.
Welcome back, Brother Malik.
Yeah.
Brother Malik, you here?
Yeah, this is Alonzo.
Oh, welcome.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
All right, or whatnot. I say, how is everybody doing?
Well,
doing just
Brother
great.
Lanzo, how are you?
Yeah, I was listening to your comment about, I was talking about our black influential leaders or whatnot, such as Kanye West.
Yes, I yield to you, brother.
Yeah, I said what I was listening to or whatnot, they definitely have a responsibility to the community, when not especially the influence that they have, if they can't get out there and put preparified notions or whatnot for as how our community is being portrayed as it is, and for them to come out there and to present otherwise or whatnot is definitely destructive towards black leadership. I wanted to make a comment too on far as the school of prison pipeline or whatnot. We're definitely putting our forces behind that report or whatnot because just because Obama left office and whatnot, he left social policies in place for us to tag along with those and carry things on in the next generation. But one of the things that we wanna talk about or whatnot is supporting the various different movements that we have right now. We're trying to get that silkscreen machine and so we could do the campaigns classmate and our cellmate campaign so we can also organize boycotts or whatnot. And all of those need resources. We need resources to do that. And one of the things that we'll be able to do, even with the sister I didn't make mention, but we'll be able to print T-shirts for her campaign or whatnot, because that's one thing. Black people buying power is 1.7 or $1.4 trillion, and we make up a lot of money, but we spend our money on things that has no social justice value to it or whatnot. We just spend it and tag along. The last time we was on there, Brother Malik made mention about Michael Jordan and for him putting his money in prisons when he can put his money towards positive things, like the report say the School of Prison Pipeline. I'll let you fill in, Malik, if you wanted to say something.
Hold on. Malik? I'm getting his mic open. Yeah, he just came back in, brother. Yeah.
Yeah, you heard him, Malik. I was let you fill in.
I heard the conversation before that too. I thought I was having trouble with the air, with the line, but I appreciate to be back on the show, and I appreciate Brother Lonzo Casino getting the chance to get in and get his voice heard, because the environment that we're in right now is very diabolical. It's satanic, and the environment doesn't want us to have our voice, you know, portrayed to the public and revealing the truth. So when we're talking about the buying and spending power of black people, we're talking about it's close to what, $2 trillion a year that the black you know, consumers spend with these corporations in America. That's too much money that's being spent as consumers. We need to start thinking in terms of being entrepreneurs, starting our own, you know. And I, you know, the school to prison pipeline thing, that's a brilliant project. And in order for this thing to come together, like me and our brother Lonzo Casino talk about, we need to come together and put the money behind the silk screen with the GoFundMe account, decarceratelouisiana.com. We have a GoFundMe account. This way, so when guys go into court, you know, they might get in touch with the queen and say, well, they need some support. We'll get supporters from the local community to decarcerate that guy if he's going to court for a post-conviction, if he's going to court or for whatever. We get people to come in there with a T-shirt, free such and such. We need to make some type of united showing behind guys that's going back and forth to these criminal courts, because these guys, point blank, to be honest with you, they're going back to the courts and they don't have nobody in there to support them. And that's one of the reasons why the white folks look at them in such a negative way. They send them right back to the penitentiary with more time that they came in there with. So we need to, as a united force, to take a village to raise any child, you know. So we need to go back to those principles all over again. Brother Lonzo.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that or whatnot. One of the things that we need to stay focused on or whatnot is being able to put our resources together to do the things that we need to do to take care of our community. And one of the things that I wanted to make mention of, I think I briefly made mention of it, but the Sheriff Association and the District Association, they're controlling the voting block in Louisiana or whatnot. And the bills that they put forward or whatnot, they have a counter, they counterproductive as far as progression is concerned. So we definitely need to put our resources together across the state, because the things that's affecting us in Louisiana is affecting us all over the globe. So I said, what else did you think you needed us to comment on?
Can I jump in for a minute?
Can I jump in?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Brother mentioned village. I talk about it on my shows a lot. The village, we don't have the villages in our here. The villages are your families. And I'm talking about not just your mother, your brother, your sisters, and cousins, but your whole entire diaspora. If you check, you probably get at least 700-800 people in your diaspora of your family. That's the village. And we need to start networking with those family members as well. You know, I know I mentioned Reap What You Sow a lot, and when they've given this back to us, they give it to us as a very simple thought, Reap What You Sow. But it goes into everything that we're doing. Why am I spending my money with this system, and what am I getting back for it? That's really what's so. They got to think, what am I getting for this money I'm spending? That's what you were talking about earlier. We're spending our money, but we're not thinking about what am I getting back by spending my money with Campbell's or Kellogg's or these people. What are they doing for me and my family, me and my community? We have to upgrade our thought process to everything that we do. We got to figure out, why am I doing this, and who is it going to benefit my actions from doing what I'm doing? How are you?
Yeah, I definitely make agreement with that.
And I agree with it as well. But it all goes back to what the Queen was talking about, critical thinking skills. When kids don't have the transactional analytical skills to think, then these kids are going to constantly bump their head and make the same mistake over and over again. But we got to constantly remind our children that you must think before you act in any kind of way, because the reap what you sow philosophy is cool, but I'm more in line with karma, you know. I'm more in line with karma, you know. For every cause, there's an effect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree 100%. Same thing. Absolutely. And I agree with everything y'all said. It all comes along the same line of thought. It's our thought process. We have to get back into what am I doing this for, and how are they going to benefit my community? And if we're not thinking like that, we're going to be, like Brother was saying, we're going to spend $2 billion or $2 trillion, and none of it's coming back to us.
Okay. Let's start organizing now to boycott these ruckus, these explicit ruckus that's ripping through our community, that's tearing the community down. We can't just talk about these things and not act upon these things. So anybody out there that want to volunteer in whatever respected community in which you come from, we need to start coming together for real and start stop buying these people ruckus, going to the media and boycotting people like Kanye West. Let's start with him. Let's knock his head off and send a message to the rest of them that, man, we're not going to allow you to signal anything, that we are slaves and all this type of stuff. We ain't no slaves. We've been enslaved. You know?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah, and I just want to say one more thing. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. The concept of reaping what one sows is that it also allows our oppressor to get off the hook for his behavior. Because I think a lot of times we're conditioned to believe that something that we've done, something that we've said, something the way that we walked, the way that we were dressed, how we looked at certain individuals, you know, and we can go back in history, even all the way back to laughing barrels, when at one point we weren't even allowed to laugh in public. You know, it lets our oppressor off the hook when we look at it from the perspective that somehow our oppression is something that we somehow deserve, you know, in the reaping process. So, yeah, you know, and going back to how we communicate, especially as brothers and sisters with one another, you know, our babies are watching, and they deserve the absolute best from us at all times. And the more that we support each other and build on one another's strengths and weaknesses, the stronger our village is going to be. So, like I said, we're a little bit past the top of the hour. You're listening to Sign of the Times Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by New Power Radio Network. We will be right back.
Consciousness. Without human consciousness, there is no world. It is the presence of human consciousness that brings meaning into the world. Without human beings in this world, conscious human beings in this world, in effect, there would not be a world. We bring the world into being through our consciousness. And through our consciousness, we create the world we live in. Out of the totality of reality, our consciousness cuts out a world that befits itself. In other words, the kind of world you exist in reflects the kind of consciousness that you have. And notice, if you change your consciousness or change your values and orientation, you enter into a different world. You interact with different people. People often that you didn't even know existed in the world. Social situations that you might not have even recognized until you entered into a new level of consciousness. You see people, say, for instance, who become addicted, say, to crack or something, and now enter into a whole world and enter into a whole social system that before they became addicted, they hardly noticed. They didn't know what it was all about. And they picked up new friends and new relations, whole new ways of acting, whole new purposes in life. They lost old friends, broke with old families, all kinds of things. In other words, the consciousness, that addictive consciousness, brought into the world a new foreground and put other things into the background. Therefore, man's consciousness is a creative act. And the kind of consciousness you have will determine the kind of world you create. And consequently, when you look at the world that we live in, African people, we must recognize to a great extent it is a world of our own creation. It is a world that has been generated by the type of consciousness we've been permitted to be instilled in us as a people.
Death is a multi-billion dollar industry. The cemeteries are full of people who've passed from a preventative illness. With the correct approach, you not only extend your chances of preserving your life, but you will improve the quality of your life with a natural approach. The earth provides energy healing herbs for the benefit of mankind.
Hello, I'm Amira Sankofa Kwali here at Ask Life Coaching Ministry. We're located at 1921 West Broadway. We've been in the healing business for over 20 years. To order my products, go to www.ask314life.com. I'm available 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Namaste.
That was our newest sponsor, Amira Sankofa Kwali. You can find her at area code 502-208-9142. So tonight we have the honor of having Decarcerate Louisiana, Brother Malik the God, and Brother Alonzo. Welcome back.
Indeed. Indeed.
All right.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Ashe, thank you for your energy. Your mics are open as well, Sister Erica and Brother Elohim. Anyone else that would like to come into queue, please push 1 if you're listening on your phone. If you're listening on your computer, you can dial in at 917-889-8059. And again, don't forget to push the number 1. So we've got about 30 minutes left on tonight's dialogue, brothers. How do you want to proceed?
I'm going to let Brother Alonzo Casino go forward with the platform.
Yeah, I made mention earlier or whatnot. I think we need to get behind that School of Prison Pipeline report. I believe that it has very interesting numbers and whatnot. And one of the things that I made mention last time I was on the show, for people that's listening in Louisiana, and also if you have a toddler, you can get them to go to Black Girls Code. It's a coding program that actually teaches black kids how to create apps and whatnot. It's a billion-dollar industry, and they got jobs available on spot right now if you actually learn how to code, and it's a free program for people that's listening in Louisiana. They can go to Operation Spark, and they can find one in their local area or whatnot, if not in the metropolitan area. And like I said, one of the things that we need to be mindful of, that we have the duty of being called a solution-orientated organization, where we're bringing solutions to the various different problems that we're facing across the state and across this country. Malik, you had anything that you wanted to say on that?
Right now, only thing I want to do is just listen at you explain more to the audience about how the school to prison pipeline project could impact the communities when we all coming together, and two, the importance of us getting the silk screen machine so that we can start promoting and putting positive T-shirts out as opposed to negative stuff, so where we can get the message about, because everybody can't just get the message through just a radio or just a book. Some people get the message through artistic perceptions. You know, they'll see different art and stuff like that. And I know it to be a fact because when I was younger, when I was in school, I never paid attention to much in school except the arts and history, science. When it came out of math and stuff like that, you ignore them totally. And when they come out of different languages, I should ignore them. And for some reason, it never did set well with me about the history, that the American history platform or curriculum. So as I became, when I became a little older, and unfortunately, it took me to go to prison in order to have the Great Awakening. You know, I'm thankful of being awakened in that manner. But right now, you know, we have guys that's in penitentiary that reformed and made the transformation, and thousands and thousands and thousands of these guys don't even much deserve to be inside these prison systems. But the administration know that, the state know that, but they'll try to take that voice and they'll try to seclude that voice behind steel or iron and concrete behind a steel door. So I want the world to be aware that this is actually what's going on. You have thousands of people that's incarcerated right now in these institutions, in these American prisons, that have the ability to go out there in the neighborhoods and reshape those neighborhoods and bring a positive energy through.
I apologize for what I'm getting ready to do. I have to go, but I need some numbers from you guys. I have a show on Sunday, and I like to give some numbers out where people can get in contact with you about what you're doing.
Yeah, Alonzo, give them the number.
Yeah, you can get in contact with me, 504-546-13. It's
504-756-1749. And how would they,
who would they be asking for, Alonzo? Yeah, Alonzo, you can go to Facebook at Decarcerate Louisiana Facebook.
Okay. Decarcerated?
Yeah, Decarcerate Louisiana.
And that's spelled with a D-E, not N-R-I-N. Decarcerate.
Okay, Decarcerate Louisiana. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
The only one on there, the only Louisiana chapter we have would not want you to type that in Facebook. We should be the first to pull up.
Okay, now you mentioned something about a black girl's code or something, so the children can learn how to code.
Yeah, the history they have on it a few years ago, a lot of politicians and whatnot and leakers was on Silicon Valley, but not hiring minorities and whatnot in response. They opened a lot of incubator shops all across the country to teach kids, black kids in particular, how to code. And it's very simple. It's a little time consuming, but it's a very simple process. They can go to operationspark.org, and they have a training program that.
So operations what?
Operation Spark, as in.
How do you spell it?
S-H, Operation Spark.
S-A-R-H, okay. All right, okay. Yeah, that's okay. I just wanted to get some information so I can plug it into my show. Thank you, brothers. I have to go, but I'm sorry to jump in like that, but I have some other things that's going on. Sister, once again, you're a beautiful show. Thank you so much for being on air. Appreciate you. And y'all stay strong. And keep up the good work,
Shay.
Brother.
Yeah, appreciate
thank you,
us. We really appreciate you.
Thank you very much, brother.
All right, and when we'll stay in contact with that number, just with any campaigns and stuff that you guys are doing with your movement. We want to also be a part of that or whatnot, so it's more, and we're in social media, but we got to definitely take advantage of our contact.
Absolutely. I love you, brothers, and you'll be hearing from me.
All right, and whatnot, we're looking forward.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Well,
yeah, so, you were saying something, Malik?
Yeah, anybody that wanted to get in touch with me personally, Malik the Guard, my number is 504-439-7196. I'm the assistant president of Decarcerate Louisiana. Alonzo Casino, he's the chairman of the Think Tank Committee. And he's an executive body member with a lot of weight, and we respect his opinions, and we need to hear from y'all. You know, just like y'all hearing from us, we need to hear y'all opinions. We need to hear ideas. We have people that take ideas and we reshape them. We make ideas come to light. We animate those ideas. So whatever ideas you may have, it don't matter what it is, it could be business plans, whatever, we can start another movement. I'm all about helping. You know, that's what God gave me the gift to do, and Malik the God going to do it to the best of his ability.
Yeah, I said one of the things that we need to also take a key on, whatnot. I hate to be repetitive or whatnot, but that school to prison pipeline, they got a lot of interesting data in there, whatnot. Like far as if you bring the black employment rate up at least 1%, you eliminate a lot of crimes or whatnot. And for them not to put their support behind school to prison pipeline, they're actually producing criminals. I'm speaking of politicians or lawmakers or whatnot that's in control of that. And one of the things that they want to do, they want to take money out of correction and invest that in education or whatnot. And what we're trying to do, they had a teacher on WWL a few days ago, and they're trying to organize the teacher strike. So we're definitely going to work through to the IWW, Industrialized Workers of the World, and we're going to work with them to reach those teachers too. Or we can collaborate together or whatnot to put some political muscle behind that school of prison pipeline.
Yeah, indeed. I was talking to a teacher the other day. She's from Algiers, Louisiana, and her profession is teaching in the Orleans Parish Public Schools. And as soon as the conversation came up about putting together a teacher strike through the IWW, Industrial World Union, that's when the conversation went flat. She didn't want to have nothing to do with that. So it's just a prime example of the slave mentality that some of the adults in Louisiana still harbor, you know, as an effect of the slave, as the institution of slavery. So we have a long way to go and a short time to get there. And the issue in Louisiana is a lot of people still walking around with psychological chains wrapped and bound around their heads. So it's like we fighting two different oppressors on two different poles right now. So y'all have to be patient with the people of Louisiana and Mississippi and a lot of other southern states where people still walk around with mental shackles and chains on their brains.
Yeah, one of the things I had sent some information about online school in Louisiana. How do you think that would be received by the parents and the students there?
I never heard of an online school that was beneficial to the black kids of the community in Louisiana. This must be some type of new initiative that was started, but I'm all in support of the online school as long as the curriculums fall in line with the truth. You know, it's not an issue about what school we go to. The issue is the curriculum first and foremost. If we teach our kids poison, then those kids, you know, they'll never know the truth. You know, kids still down here, you know, they still bowing down to their allegiance, the flag of the allegiance of the Americans and all this here. They still believe in Christopher Columbus. The curriculum still talk about the greatness of people like the guy that started the counter intelligence program, J. Edgar Hoover. And to me, all them people were nothing but devils. Because everything that they started, they systematically did things to exclude any type of power structure that came about to free the minds of indigenous peoples or African peoples or any other peoples related to them. So we got to be careful with our kids consuming.
Ashe, indeed. My children actually, well, my youngest daughter was in an online school, and it gave me more control on what she learned. We were able to supplement that with, you know, our own homeschool curriculum. And the benefit to that, to me, is that we're not sending them off to be in the belly of the beast every day from 9
yeah.
to 3, you know. At least that way, you know, we see exactly what they are and are not comprehending and being taught. So, yeah, it definitely
right.
gives the parent more control.
Right. I agree with that. If that's how that's coming, I agree with it like that. What's the name of that school you're talking about, the online education in Louisiana?
Yeah, there's a couple of them I sent. I put it in your inbox.
Okay,
all
right. Let's
ago.
Take a look at it.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at it.
Ashe.
Anything else particular that you wanted to cover on the show so we could bring some light to the people that's been held in darkness for so long?
Well, I ran across an article that talked about Senator Marco Rubio when you spoke about politicians and their influence on the education and the curriculum. Senator Mark Rubio, the Florida Republican who has found himself in the mainstream maelstrom of federal and state debates over school safety and gun control, says an Obama-era civil rights law may have contributed to the massacre at a high school in his state last month where a former student fatally shot 17 children and adults. And he quoted as saying, "Disturbing reports have indicated that federal guidance may have contributed to systematic failures to report Nicholas Cruz's dangerous behaviors to local law enforcement," Rubio wrote to Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos and Attorney General Jeff Sessions in a joint letter dated, well, whatever the Monday date was when this article was written. So, you know, in dealing with that, because we know that the elite, it's dated March 6, 2008, and it's on U.S. News and a report, if you want to look it up. And the reporter was Laura Camera. So if we look at the fact that we know that the politicians are used to having power and control, when they paint these types of narratives that say that something that was meant to be a positive influence is now the result of, you know, this person deciding to, you know, open up fire on his classmates, what do we do in the situation where, you know, the victims are often blamed for a system that they did not create and we don't control? And I yield.
Yeah, I believe one of the things that we got to be mindful of or not for is how the media, and they put these talking heads up there with not such as Senator Rubio and whatnot, demonize it, all of the progress that our former President Obama made or whatnot. I believe that when they allow you to play the victim role, it's the best solution is to put the truth. Because like you say right now, you got teachers that's not getting paid any money or whatnot, and they're trying to arm the teachers, and they're trying to pay teachers and arm them or whatnot, but they're not willing to give them money to educate these youth or whatnot. And that's probably one of the most ludicrous things that I've ever seen. And one would say, like in Louisiana, you have ranking officials across DOC get raises daily or whatnot in here, and you fail to give teachers raises. So that's one of the things that we're talking on, incarceration versus education. And sister posted an article on that on your blog page or whatnot. I think that was last week. But that's definitely what we're talking about. We're talking about being able to get behind these reports or whatnot and corroborate with the teachers and the families or whatnot and sit down. Absolutely don't go to school or whatnot until your demands are met to pay them more, because they're definitely worth more because of their holding a whole generation down or whatnot. So you had anything you wanted to say on that, Malik?
Yeah, I wanted to interject and add to it, because it was something that had been on my mind. And I can't let it get away from us this time while we have the opportunity to put it out there to the people that decarcerating Louisiana, we're in search of an outside coordinator from a prestigious black college like Spelman or Southern or Grambling, one of the historical black colleges. We need somebody to take the flagship and take leadership stance now. If you're in school, you're in college, you're taking political science, you're taking criminal justice. Well, right now you have an opportunity to start a charter group at your college or decarcerate whatever state where you at, you know, so we can get the word out, because everything got to go through the student. The children are the future. So right now we're opening up the doors to outside coordinators, whatever skills you may have. If you want to step up and be an outside coordinator for decarcerate Louisiana, right now, you know, we have a system put in place where we're putting together a screening committee. And we'd like for the queen to sit on that board if she'll pick that up and start screening some people for outside coordination position, where we can start getting some of these programs, you know, active.
Yeah, and you can contact us through our Facebook or not for screening purposes is concerned. And like I said, if you have any listeners that's listening in Louisiana and go to Grambling Southern, LSU or whatnot, that you'll definitely be happy to hear from you guys. So like I said, what we're trying to do, we're trying to make an impact. And right now, definitely everything is the time for us to make an impact as it relates to various social justice illness that affects our community.
But we also know that the curriculum that they're teaching these kids in school dealing with criminal justice and political science is totally different from what we teach them. They're getting the same traditional teachers that have been handed down from their slave masters for years and years. And then when they come across a curriculum like our platform, they'd be like, wow, man, we never seen nothing like this. We didn't know that the government was doing this. Yeah? They don't teach us that at Southern. They don't teach us that at Grambling. So I let you know that the devil's doing some inside work again. So we need to take control of the curriculums of the schools, and we need to start educating our kids and pulling ourselves out of bootstraps and quit waiting on everybody else, some savior to come and rescue you. You got to do it yourself.
Yeah, the amen on that one. I said one of the things that I wanted to make mention of too, was not they got what they got in Louisiana, was not the sheriff and the district attorney association. They get kickback money to house state inmates in those local jails, and they're receiving very little rehabilitation program despite of the fact that money is being appropriate. Louisiana, as you have said, have over 56% of their state inmates housed in local prison jails or whatnot. And the sheriff association holds any type of bill as it relates to prison reform, but those prisons are housed in their jails. So what we want to do, we want y'all to get behind what's coming up with legislation, proposal bills, and also lawsuits to any guys that's locked up in state prison jails, in local prison jails, and you have a state time or whatnot. We're trying to get you guys in DOC facilities where you have rehabilitation programs to educate you, to get you ready for society again. So that's one of the agendas that you'll be having in the coming months at Detention Rate Louisiana. You got anything else that you wanted to make mention of our campaign that we have, Brother Malik?
Yeah, I want to add to that by talking about a program that's already in place by the state. But, of course, when you're dealing with Louisiana, anytime they have a positive program that creates a mechanism for guys to get out of penitentiary, they always claim that they don't have the funding. So the program is called Transitional Parole. And, you know, it's being offered to guys that have life sentences, because in Louisiana, life means life. That means day for day, they don't have no parole. You don't get no probation. You don't get no suspension of sentence. If you get found guilty of a capital offense, whether that be murder in a first-degree, second-degree murder, or armed robbery, anything like that, you'll get a life sentence. So Louisiana, being the most crowded penitentiary in the world, you know, per capita, we incarcerate more people than China per capita. Now they got to find a mechanism to let people out. And they don't have the funding, they claim. But the transitional parole will actually work if we stand behind it and start pushing it, because there's a pilot program that allows for inmates to go to halfway houses or stuff of that magnitude. And they'll go to these halfway houses. From there, they'll get jobs and they'll make the transition to go into the free world and then continue to do positive work inside the communities. We need to stand behind those programs, make them honor these things that's already on the law books. Don't let them get off the hook talking about reaping what you sow, giving them an opportunity to get off the hook. We ain't letting nobody off the hook. They don't let us off the hook. They throw us in the dungeon. For the slightest little thing go out, you go straight to the dungeon without a write-up, and they'll sing you, they'll take all your clothes and put you on isolation, and then they'll deal with you whenever you come up to go to court.
Ashe. Sister Erica, do you have anything you want to say before we close out for the evening?
Yeah, Queen, I got a few things to say. For one, like, this is a really great show because, you know, the prison system, school systems, like, that's something that's a passion of mine, how the system is doing. That's the people I agree with, everything that everybody has said so far. If anybody knows about the school to prison system, it's me. Because, you know, I won't get all into detail, but at the end of the day, I did not agree with the curriculum that my children were being taught. So I decided to switch them out and put them on an online school. The school didn't like that, so they came here. They just came and kidnapped my children. They got me all messed up, like, to the point where I got to fight this big battle just because I wanted to take my children away from that type of indoctrine. And they don't like that. You know what I mean? And, like, dealing with this situation I have learned some things. Like, I have seen what's going on deeper in the system. You know what I mean? And it's to the point now where we have CYF workers who go get a job working for CYF, and they end up quitting within 3 months because they see how foul, like, how they're doing people. You know what I mean? So they're coming up with, like, new organizations that are just made to help liaison between the CYF and the parents and stuff like that, because that's how bad it is when you're dealing with them now. Like, they don't want your children to return home to you. They don't want you to give your children that type of education. They want you to teach your kids what they want you to teach them. They really don't like that, you know what I mean? And so from working with these people, I have learned a lot. Like, they're inviting me to come to different events that they have. They have offered me a job so far, and they also are, like, sending me through training. So when I'm done with this training, they send us to the I forget where they send us, but it's, like, to change the laws. Like, they want me to advocate for this type of situation here in Pittsburgh. So, you know, I'm glad to be on the show because, like, I'm very passionate about it. I've been blessed to be invited to speak up for people, you know, who want to do better and teach their own children, give their children, you know, their own type of education, how to teach our kids what we want to teach them. So I'm glad to be a part of that. So, like, that ties into what, you know, a couple of the brothers were saying earlier on the show, like, about the spending power that we have. For me, I could just speak for myself. I am very funny where I spend my money. You know what I mean? Like, if I give someone my hard-earned money, I want to be able to give that to someone who I support, who they are. If they're giving back to the community, if they're doing right by the kids, they helping out here, I'll spend my money. Since I've seen your, you know, your different things that you do, like redistribute the pain and stuff like that, since then I have not spent a dollar in Walmart. I've not spent a dollar in McDonald's. If more people would get conscious about where their money is going and who they're supporting by giving them the money, if we could keep better track of how we're spending our money, then we will be able to choose better where we put the money. And then we can support the people who are for the community. You know, like boycotting Kanye, that might be a good idea because he might have to be the one who is an example that you can't go around insulting the people like that. Like, if that's how you felt, you probably was tied up. We don't know what this thing was, but, you know, you can't just make statements like that with that type of platform and not suffer the consequences. You know what I mean? So it was a really great show, Queen. Really great show. Like, I love it. And,
thank you,
sir. You know, you brought my spirits up. Yeah, you guys bring my spirits up, like, real talk. I just love to get on here and hear these types of conversations. So with that, incarcerate Louisiana, I'm going to look that up because I support these types of formations and, you know, organizing and stuff like that. So I appreciate every last one of you. And I say all power to the people, and I'll yield on that.
All power to the people. All power to the people.
Oh, Queen, could I get something in right fast before she go?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. What I want you to do or not, you could go to our Facebook page, Decarcerate Louisiana. And any video feed that you have experiencing about your experience with the public education, if you got any video feed so we can upload that, because one of the things that we got to be mindful of or not is that social media is a very empowering tool, and it's about us sharing our, like sister got redistribute pain or whatnot. It's important that our message get put out or whatnot, because the right person see what we're doing or whatnot, they're able to put financial backing towards the different programs that we want to do. But we definitely need to hear your stories and people like yourself or whatnot that's tired of the public education system and taking y'all kids out of that setting because they're definitely not teaching them the right thing that they're going to need to know to be a black person in society.
One last thought, Queen. We talk about the power of social media. Well, we know Sister Kalaika went over there to Cuba, and now everybody have a different perception of Cuba. Prior to her taking the trip, we was all taught that Cuba was like being in Vietnam somewhere way in the 60s or something, you know, like it was so throwback where people, everybody locked up, everybody poor. But I didn't see that. She sent some images back, and the people love her. It's trying to support her. She's poor, love her. The people of government, they love her. So we got to be careful of the things that we allow the oppressor to put inside our mind. We just can't take it for face value. You got to investigate stuff. Indeed.
I say indeed.
Yeah.
All right. Well, definitely, we appreciate everybody's energy tonight, and we appreciate the work that it takes to stay, to persevere through the challenges and the obstacles that we face out here as revolutionary-minded individuals and organizations. And we're building a revolutionary-minded community, and our youth are ready. They're just waiting to continue to hear the right types of messages. So all power to the people. The revolution will not be on Facebook. It's going to be boots on the ground, y'all. So please reach out to these brothers, Carcerate Louisiana. You can find them on Facebook. We'll probably work on expanding the platform a little bit, brothers, and get you all a WordPress site set up, too. So I'd love to work with you on that. Let's go ahead, brother.
And if anybody want to write to me directly, you can write me at all. My slave name is Vernon, V-E-R-N-O-N, Vernon Washington, DOC number 301291. That's jpay.com. If they email, or you can just write straight out at Vernon Washington, or DOC number 301291, Louisiana State Penitentiary, Angola, Louisiana 70712. All right.
Ashe.
Brother
Ashe,
Casino.
Anything else?
Brother Casino.
Yeah, you can.
Give
you can
out
reach
your information where people can holler at you, man.
Yeah, you can reach me at Calvin Coleman, 399-534, Angola, Louisiana State Penitentiary, 70125. And you can contact me through JPay at the same address or not. It'll be through email messages. And you can anything that you guys have or not that wasn't covered on the show about incarcerating Louisiana or not, you can refer questions to Malik or me.
Indeed.
I should.
And we appreciate y'all, Queen.
We appreciate y'all too, brother. We're in this together.
Anytime.
United we stand, divided we fall. So
anytime.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
well, we'll see y'all in 2 weeks. So that was
okay.
The 17th.
And get a sister some love for having the courage to get on the show today and voice what was going on in her community. More power to you, sis.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to say the same thing or not, because I sure appreciate hearing your story or not, and we'll be looking forward to connecting on Facebook.
Yes, definitely. Okay. I'm definitely going to do that. Yep. Thank you very much. Thank you for sharing your knowledge, too, you know, getting on here and, you know, giving this platform something good to talk about, you know, something that needs to be heard. So, yes, I thank you guys, too.
Ashe. All right. We're going to go ahead and close out for the evening, everybody. Tuesday through Friday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Coming up on our fifth anniversary, July the 13th, 2018. So in the meantime, between times, between time here, we're signing off for the evening. We love you. We thank you. And most of all, we respect you and we appreciate you. We'll see you tomorrow night at 6 Eastern Standard Time, everybody. Salute.
Thank you, Queen.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne. Say the black of the best, the sweet of the juice. I say the dark of the flesh and the
for the roots. I give a holler to my sisters on welfare. You clock in, and don't nobody else care. And I know they like to beat you down a lot. And when you come around the block, brothers clown a lot. So please don't cry, dry your eyes, never let up. Forgive, but don't forget, girl, keep your head up. And when he tells you you ain't nothing, don't believe him. And if you can't learn to love you, you should leave him. Cause sister, you don't need him. And I ain't trying to gash up, I just call him how I see. You know what makes me unhappy? When brothers make mates and leave a young mother to be a cat. And since we all came from a woman, got our name from a woman, and I came from a woman. I wonder why we take from our women, why we rape our women, do we hate our women? I think it's time to kill for our women, time to heal our women, be real to our women. And if we don't, we'll have a race of babies that will hate the lady and make the baby. And since a man can't make one, he has no right to tell a woman when and where to create one. So will the real men get up? I know you're fed up, lady, but keep your head up. I remember Marvin Gaye used to sing to me. He had me feeling like black was the thing to be. And suddenly the ghetto didn't seem so tough. And though we had it rough, we always had enough. I hopped up about my curfew and broke the roof. Went with the local crew and had a smoke or two. I realized mama really paid the price. She nearly gave her life to raise me right. And all I had to give her was my life dream. Of how I bought the life and make it to the light screen. Make a dollar out of missing sense. It's hard to be legit and still pay your rent. And in the end, it seems I'm heading for the pen. I try to find my friends, but they're blowing in the wind. Last night, my buddy lost his whole family. It's gonna take the man in me to conquer this insanity. It seems the rain will never let up. I try to keep my head up and still keep from getting wetter. You know it's funny when it rains, it pours. They got money for wars, but can't feed the poor. Said it ain't no hope for the youth, and the truth. And they wonder why we crazy. I blame my mother for turning my brother into a crack baby. We ain't meant to survive cause it's a setup. And even though you're better,
baby, you're better.
Babies on their own. I know it's kind of rough and you're feeling all alone. Dad's long gone and he left you by your lonesome. Thanks the Lord for my kids, even if nobody else wants them. Cause I think we can make it, in fact, I'm sure. And if you fall, stand tall or come back for more. Cause ain't nothing worse than when your son wants to know why daddy don't love him no more. You can't complain, you were dealt this hell of a hand without a man feeling helpless. Because there's too many things for you to deal with. Dying inside. But outside you're looking big. While the tears is rolling down your cheek, it's daddy hoping things don't all fall this week. Cause if it did, you couldn't take it. And don't blame me, I was given this world, I didn't make it. And now my son's getting older and older and cold from having the world on his shoulders. While the rich kids are driving big, but still trying to hold on to surviving friends. And it's crazy, things will never let up. But please, you gotta keep your head up.